Picture a mother standing at the front door of an elementary school in 1973. She's holding her 7-year-old daughter's hand. Her daughter has Down syndrome. The principal meets them at the door and says, kindly but firmly, "I'm sorry, we don't have the resources for children like her. Have you considered the state institution?"
Wait, they could just turn kids away from public school?
They could, and they did, regularly. In the early 1970s, American public schools excluded more than 1 million children with disabilities entirely, told them to stay home. Another 3 million were in school but received no special services whatsoever, just placed in classrooms where they couldn't keep up, left to fail quietly in the back row.
That's millions of kids just written off.
Written off. Until parents decided they'd had enough. I'm Sarah.
And I'm David. This is 100 Laws That Shaped America.
Today, we're talking about Public Law 94-142, the Education for All Handicapped Children Act of 1975. And David, this is one of those laws that completely transformed American society, but a lot of people don't even know it exists.
I mean, I think we all just assume that kids with disabilities go to school. That's just how it is, right?
Now it is, but that's only been true for about 50 years. Before 1975, if your child had a disability, whether that was cerebral palsy, deafness, blindness, intellectual disabilities, emotional challenges, schools could legally refuse to educate them. And they did.
So what was happening to these kids?
Some stayed home, taught nothing. Some were sent to institutions, often terrible places where they were warehoused, not educated. A few wealthy families could afford private schools, but for most families, there was nowhere to turn. You were just on your own.
And this is the 1970s we're talking about. We'd put people on the moon. We'd passed civil rights laws. But we couldn't figure out how to teach kids with disabilities?
It wasn't that we couldn't figure it out, David. It's that we didn't think we had to. There was this pervasive belief that children with disabilities were unteachable, that they wouldn't benefit from education, that it would be a waste of taxpayer money.
That's heartbreaking.
But here's what happened. Parents started organizing. They started filing lawsuits, and they started winning. In Pennsylvania in 1971, parents sued the state and won the right for children with intellectual disabilities to receive a free public education. The next year, in Washington, D.C., another lawsuit expanded that right to children with all types of disabilities.
So the courts were saying, yes, these kids have a right to education.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Court victories in Pennsylvania and D.C. didn't help a family in Texas or Oregon or Maine. What America needed was a national law, a guarantee that would apply everywhere.
And this is all happening during the Nixon and Ford administrations, right? The Watergate era. Not exactly a time when people trusted the federal government to do much of anything.
Right. The early 70s, it's this fascinating moment. You've got this deep cynicism about government, about institutions, but you also have all these movements demanding change. The environmental movement, the women's movement, disability rights activism. People were saying, the system is broken, but we're going to force it to work for everyone.
So how did this law actually come together?
By 1975, Congress had been watching these court cases. They'd been hearing from parent advocacy groups, and they decided to act. The bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support, because honestly, once you strip away all the politics, this was about something fundamental. Should children with disabilities be allowed to go to school?
And Gerald Ford signed it.
He did, on November 29th, 1975. And David, this law didn't just crack open the schoolhouse door. It spelled out exactly how that door would stay open. It created a whole framework for disability education that we still use today.
Okay, walk me through it. What did this law actually require?
So first and most important, free, appropriate public education. FAPE, they call it. Every child with a disability, ages 3 to 21, has the right to a public education at no cost to their parents. Not just any education, an appropriate one, designed for their specific needs.
So schools can't charge families extra, and they can't just stick a kid in any random classroom and call it done.
Exactly. Which brings us to the second big piece, the Individualized Education Program, or IEP. For every child receiving special education services, the school has to create a written plan. What are this child's needs? What goals are we setting?
What services will we provide? How will we measure progress?
So it's not one size fits all. Every kid gets a customized plan.
Yes, and here's what's revolutionary about that. Parents are part of the IEP team. They sit at the table with teachers and administrators. They have a voice in their child's education. Before this law, parents were just told what would happen, if anything happened at all.
That's a huge shift in power dynamics.
It really is. And the law went even further. It said that children with disabilities should be educated in the least restrictive environment possible, meaning whenever appropriate, they should be in regular classrooms with their non-disabled peers, not automatically separated, not hidden away.
But I imagine that was complicated to implement because some kids need more support than others, right?
Absolutely. And the law recognized that. It's not about forcing every child into the same setting. It's about making sure that separation is the last resort, not the first assumption. It's about inclusion as the goal.
What else did the law do?
Procedural safeguards. Parents got the right to see their child's educational records, the right to participate in decisions, the right to dispute decisions they disagreed with. If a school said, "We don't think your child needs speech therapy," and the parents disagreed, they could challenge that. They could request a hearing. They had due process rights.
I bet the schools loved that.
Well, it was an adjustment. But here's the thing, David. These safeguards exist because parents had been powerless for so long. This was about balancing the scales.
Okay, but all of this costs money. How did they pay for it?
Federal funding. The law provided grants to states to help cover the costs of special education services. It wasn't enough to cover everything. States and local districts still had to contribute. But it was seed money. It was the federal government saying, "We're partners in this. We'll help you make it happen."
So 1975, the law passes, Ford signs it. What happened next? Did schools just suddenly transform overnight?
Not exactly. Implementation was messy. Some schools resisted. Some didn't have trained teachers. Some didn't have accessible buildings. Remember, kids in wheelchairs were now coming to schools that had never expected to accommodate them.
Right, because if you've been excluding kids with physical disabilities, you probably never built a ramp.
Exactly. So there was this whole period of adjustment. Schools had to hire special education teachers, train existing staff, modify buildings, buy new equipment. Parents had to learn how to advocate within this new system. And kids? Kids who had never been in a classroom before were suddenly walking through those school doors.
That must have been incredible for those families.
It was life-changing. Because education isn't just about reading and math, right? It's about socialization. It's about being part of your community. It's about having a future beyond the four walls of your home.
So what's the impact been? I mean, we're talking about 50 years now.
The impact is almost hard to overstate. Today, this law, now called the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, serves more than 7 million students. 7 million kids who, before 1975, might not have received any education at all.
7 million. That's enormous.
And it's not just about the numbers. It's about what became possible. Before this law, the high school graduation rate for students with disabilities was abysmal. Now, the majority of students with disabilities graduate. Many go on to college. They get jobs. They live independent lives.
I imagine it's also changed things for kids without disabilities, right? Like, if you grew up in a classroom with kids with disabilities, that's a different experience than being completely separated.
That's one of the beautiful unintended consequences. Inclusion has taught generations of kids that disability is just part of human diversity. It's normalized something that used to be hidden away. Kids who grew up in inclusive classrooms are now adults who see disability differently than their grandparents did.
Has the law changed since 1975?
Oh, yes. It's been reauthorized and amended several times. In 1990, it was renamed IDEA. The language changed from handicapped children to children with disabilities, reflecting a shift in how we talk about and think about disability. The law was expanded to include things like transition services to help students prepare for life after high school. Autism and traumatic brain injury were added as specific disability categories.
So it's evolved with our understanding.
Exactly. And it's still controversial in some ways. Schools argue that the federal government doesn't provide enough funding, that they're stuck with an unfunded mandate. Some parents feel like schools still don't do enough, that they have to fight for every service. The tension between inclusion and specialized support continues.
But the basic right, the right to a free, appropriate public education, that's not in question anymore.
No, that's settled. That's the floor. No school in America can legally turn away a child with a disability. No parent has to accept that their child is unteachable. That's the victory of 1975.
You know what strikes me about this law? It's that it's invisible to most people who don't need it. Like, if you don't have a child with a disability, you might never think about IEPs or FAPE or any of this.
That's true. But I think that's also a sign of success, in a way. It means that kids with disabilities in schools is now so normal, so expected, that we don't even question it. The revolution happened, and now it's just how things are.
The classroom door is open.
The classroom door is open for everyone. And it stays open because of a law passed in 1975, signed by a president most people don't think much about anymore, championed by parents who refuse to accept that their children didn't deserve an education.
That's the story of American progress, isn't it? People who refuse to accept the way things are.
It really is. The Education for All Handicapped Children Act, now IDEA, it's not just about disability rights. It's about the promise that America makes to all its children, that you belong, that you have potential, that we will invest in your future, that you deserve a chance to learn, that you deserve a chance to learn.